What is Jesus worth to you? It's a simple question. How much is Jesus worth to you? Today, we're going to walk through Mark 14. Go ahead and open your Bibles. And we will see a contrast. And it all comes down to this one question: how much is Jesus worth to you? We will see a contrast between Judas Iscariot, that's the one who betrayed Jesus, and then we'll see a contrast with Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. And the thing that encouraged me the most from all week is that it is impossible to have too much reckless devotion to Jesus. It is impossible to be too devoted to Jesus. You're going to see it as we read through it, and I never expected this story to affect me so much, but it did. Do you guys want to know how I prepare for sermons? It's not AI. I know, that's a big scare. No, here's what I do. I study the text. And I soak in the text until it affects me. I know, it's not that cute, but this is what I do. I refuse to be unchanged by God. And I refuse to be unchallenged by His Word. But I did not expect this week, this particular story, to have so much of an impact on me. Mark chapter 14, 1 through 11. It was now 2 days before Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. The leading priest and the teachers of religious law were still looking for an opportunity to capture Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the Passover celebration, they agreed, or the people may riot. Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. While he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard. Oh. She broke open the jar and poured the perfume over his head. Get this. Some of those at the table were indignant. "Why waste such expensive perfume?" they asked. "It could have been sold for a year's wages and the money given to the poor." So they scolded her harshly. But Jesus replied, I like it when he doesn't stay silent. "Leave her alone. Why criticize her for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you, and you can help them whenever you want, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could and has anointed my body for burial ahead of time. I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the whole world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed." Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples, went to the leading priest to arrange to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted when they heard why he had come, and they promised to give him money. So he began looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus. Now, it just sounds like a simple story. But what makes this so colorful is that the other two Gospels talk about it, John and Matthew. And what we know from John is that this lady was Mary. Not Jesus' mom, Mary. There's five Marys in the Gospels. But this is Mary, the same Mary that was Mary and Martha. And if you remember that story, I just want to quickly read it to you from Luke 10, because it's going to irk your bones. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. If you know what's coming, you're a Martha Stewart. Okay. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here and I do all the work? Tell her, come and help me. Now, I kind of agreed with Martha. If I hadn't read what Jesus said next. And Jesus said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. This is what got me right here. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. I mean, is that true or not true? Right, but we got dinner to cook, Jesus. You don't understand. There's all these people. And he said, there's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. This is the same Mary in this story. Mary hung on Jesus' every word, and she believed it. She got it. You notice that Jesus defended her in Luke 10? He didn't say, now get up and go do something, lazy bones. And then Jesus defends her in Mark 14. Just think about this. How did she know that Jesus was needing to be anointed for burial? How'd she know that? Was she into palm reading, fortune telling, tarot cards? Those are all waste of your time. Don't mess with them. Demonic. No, simply she believed God's word. That's it. Three times Jesus had told them exactly what's going to happen. Chapter 8, chapter 9, and chapter 10. Jesus says verbatim, we are going to Jerusalem where the priests and the teachers of religious law will kill me. But 3 days I will rise again. And she believed it. She believed it to the point that she takes perfume worth a year's wages. What is that? $40,000? She doesn't give Jesus a few drops and say, that should do, Jesus. This is the expensive nard from India. That's what the text says. This is the good stuff. No, she doesn't do that. She smashes open it, breaks open the jar. This is like over-the-top radical devotion to Jesus, the King of Kings, and she holds nothing back and she dumps the whole thing over his head. Now, here's what got me. I know this story. I know this story, but I never expected it to hit me like this. I will never look at these stories that I preach to the same after you spend time in it. Side note here, I want you guys to take someone else through the New Testament in September. And I promise you, if you do that, you will never look at your Bible the same. As you are entrusted to make a disciple of someone else, you end up getting the most. But here's what got me. In this story in particular, everyone there thought she was ridiculous. Everyone else, even the disciples, were indignant. They were mad. The only other time they used that word is when somebody asked to be P1 and P2 in the kingdom, position 1 and position 2, and they were mad. They were mad enough that they opened their mouths and said, what a waste. They were mad enough that they opened their mouths and they scolded her harshly. Verse 5 uses those words. The Gospel of John tells us that Judas was mad, and it literally says because he wanted the money for himself. Judas. Jesus put Judas in charge of the money, and it says in John 12 that Judas would dip his hands into the treasury often and steal some for himself. And Matthew tells us that all the disciples were indignant. All of them were mad. She just wasted $50,000 of perfume on Jesus. Or did she? This is what encouraged me. Mary got it. She was the only one who knew what Jesus was worth, and no one else did. The only one who didn't think that she was nuts was Jesus. I don't know if you guys feel like this. You ever get told that you take your Jesus a little too serious? In Jesus' whole life, in everything we have written about Jesus, he never says this about anyone except for here. Wherever the gospel is preached, what she did will be remembered and discussed. And look, here we are, 2026, talking about what this lady did. Everyone in our world today is totally fine and comfortable with just a little devotion to Jesus. Just a medium amount of commitment to Jesus. Just don't get too extreme. The world doesn't have a problem with average religion. But if you get extreme, you cross the line. Jesus is fine for you, but if you say he's the only way to heaven, now you cross the line. We have a problem. I heard this week, oh, your church actually reads the Bible. Weird. I thought that was normal. Even churchgoers will say to those who are radically devoted to Jesus, chill out a little bit and just be like the rest of us. Just go somewhere. That's good enough. But for those who are radically devoted to Jesus, to where everyone else thinks you're kind of nuts, are you satisfied if your only applause comes from Jesus and no one else? Is that enough for you? The disciples scolded her. Judas wanted the money. Everybody at the table said, what a waste. We could have taking care of the poor. The disciples at this point were Jesus friendly, but they were spiritually dense, spiritually dull. But not this lady. She did not have the mindset, what's in it for me? She did not have the mindset, what can I get out of Jesus? The disciples were asking, how can we use Jesus to jockey our position in the kingdom? But she had the mindset, how can I use my life to honor Christ? The most mature Christ followers think not what I can get out of Jesus, but how can I use my life the most to honor Christ? And so, just reflecting on the story, is it a joy or a chore for you to honor Christ with your life? Is it like a problem to you to have to kill sin and treasure Jesus? Or is it a joy? You're really into this. Well, that's Mary, okay? That's Mary. We'll pick this up. Now contrast Mary, who saw Christ as the most valuable person in her life, reckless devotion to Jesus. Now contrast that with Judas, verse 10 and 11. Judas will trade in Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And you might think to yourself, what an idiot. I would never trade in Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And here is what I was wrecked with this week. We have all traded Jesus for much less than 30 pieces of silver. We have. You will trade Jesus for mere seconds of sinful pleasure, much less than 30 pieces of silver. Judas Iscariot. Iscariot was not his last name. I don't know if you've ever known that. Judas Iscariot was not his last name. Iscariot means the man from carry off. Iscariot. That was not his last name. We're just distinguishing him from the other Judases, like Jude. That was Judas, Jesus' brother. He wrote the book of Jude. But Judas Iscariot is the only disciple that was not from Galilee. Kerioth was a town south of Jerusalem. But Judas loved money more than he loved anything. And that's not so different from us today. He'd fit right in. Judas, to me, is just as interesting as Mary's radical devotion. Judas's, but for different reasons. Judas proves that there is a greater epidemic of Judases in the church than there are an epidemic of radically devoted followers to Jesus. Mary types, those are rare. Judas types, very common. Get this, Judas proves it is possible to hang around Christians. Judas proves it is possible to act like one of the disciples to the point that nobody knew that it was Judas who was going to betray him. Judas proves it is possible to spend 3 years walking with Jesus himself. I know, it's quite discouraging. Never. I know. Never think your kids are a bother. I literally mean that. Like, Jesus loved children. So don't go, who's that? But Judas, this scares me, proves that it is possible to act like a Christian. It is possible to spend years walking with Jesus, seeing him speak, seeing him do miracles, spending time with him, and still not be a real Christian. That's so shocking to me. How is that possible? To do that much life with Jesus and then trade him for 30 pieces of silver. So here's what we learn from Judas. Judas traded Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, and we say that's so ridiculous. And here's what I want to tell you. Whatever you traded Jesus for was not worth it. It doesn't matter what it was. Whatever you trade Jesus for is not worth it. We read about idolatry in the Old Testament and we think, oh, that's not me. I don't have any statues. An idol is a great definition. It's anything that you are willing to sin to get it. Maybe it's to be liked. If you're willing to sin to be liked by your peers, if you're willing to sin to get the promotion, if you're willing to lie, anything you're willing to sin to get, you have traded in that for it, Jesus. We look at 30 pieces of silver and Judas and go, how foolish. But we will refuse to see any of that in our own life. So back to my original question, to sum all this up. What is Jesus worth to you? That's really what it boils down to. How much is Jesus worth to you? Is he your treasure or is he worth trading? Is your life showing Jesus' worth at all? If somebody looked at your life, would they see, wow, that looks kind of foolish, like you've wasted your life following him? So looking at the two contrasted example, it simply boils down to, do you love Christ more than you love yourself? That's what the whole thing is summed up. Do you love Christ more than you love yourself? Let's pray. I thank you for the story of Mary and her radical devotion to hang on your words, to look like the fool when everyone else thought it was too much. And the fact that you defended her, it just means so much. And so I pray that your church would look like we have wasted our lives because you were worth more to us than anything. We ask that you would do this for the honor of your Son. It's in his name we pray. Amen.